morning, Coach Link.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am happy as a pig in mud. How are you?
Happy as a pig in mud.
Good.
A little rainy here, but that's okay.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah, so you wanted to talk about metrics?
Metrics have been on my mind lately.
Yeah, I hate metrics. I don't know why.
You hate metrics? I don't hate metrics. I hate that we abuse the living snot out of metrics.
That's why I hate them. That's why I hate them. I feel like it's human nature to use them. And when you use them, you abuse them. So why even introduce them, you know? Why even bring them into the picture? I mean, that's just my view.
It is an interesting view, and God forbid you ever hold back on sharing your views.
That's true. What do you think?
So let me tell you my crazy thoughts on metrics. I think metrics are tools, just like the frameworks are tools, right? Scrum's a tool.
Yeah.
It's not the reason why we're agile. It's a tool. The metrics aren't the reason why we're agile. They're tools. They're indicators to let the team know if there are things that they can improve upon. And if so, maybe give hints on where they can look. But I think too often, metrics become the objective or the purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the same feeling I get too, is that they become, instead of the work being done and then the metrics following, it's the we're doing the work to drive the metrics, and that becomes the goal and the main target. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and you know, there's nothing that our customers really desire more than predictability and velocity. I mean, I know that's what they're clamoring for.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
I know when I go to use software or a website or any kind of product, the first thing I look at is, dang, they must have had some kick-ass velocity.
And that's true. It becomes an abuse, and then it becomes a competition, because then some velocities, and I mean, you got to coach through that, but teams start to compete, you know, get punished for not delivering the same velocity. But I heard it once, you know, when you compare teams like that, it's like comparing basketball to hockey, you know, and you go, why did you only score 5 points and this team scored 80, you know? But it's they're totally different sports. They're totally different teams. So I think the metrics also introduces a forcing of uniformity that shouldn't exist as well. Because everybody's supposed to hit the same metric goal then.
But you know what that... So, okay, I'm going to reframe my earlier statement. I don't think metrics are bad.
Yeah.
I think...
I do.
I think metrics without mindset are bad.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's the introduction of metrics later on, you know, to a mature team that understands it. But I think patient towards metrics... immediately.
You know, and it's not just the teams, right? Because a lot of times when you stand up a new team, depending
That's
upon
true.
How you coach them and how you set expectations, you can get them laser focused on their customer. You can get them laser focused on customer value. But sooner or later, somebody does something that says, hey, we should generate a report that shows how many story points our teams are doing on average across the entire department, division, enterprise, and then it all just kind of spirals out of control. Because when you measure something, that's what people tend to focus on. I mean, we're hardwired to do that.
Yeah, and that's a good point with the kind of coming in when you're first introducing some agile principles and values to people with an old traditional mindset are going to latch immediately to the metrics. And like you said, outside of the team, I think a lot of it comes from management, leadership, that's not understanding. And they go, oh, we just need Gantt charts of different sprints from different teams, you know, spanning out, and we can then have milestones. And it's like, all right, clearly there's
it's like a security blanket, right? I will avoid the change. I will avoid actually changing the way that I think about the work that we do by wrapping these metrics around me like a security blanket. I need my report because I can't sleep without my report.
That's true. That's very true. And I think it comes from a lot of those from traditional project management that have been born in, and, you know, their whole career has been in that for 10, 20 years. So they don't, when you tell them, we don't do Gantt charts. They're like, well, what do we do? It's like, well, we focus on a sprint and
deliver
incrementally.
You can almost see them emotionally curling into the fetal position.
Start getting a tear in their eye.
Thumb pops into their mouth and start whimpering. No reports, no Gantt charts. How about this? What if, as we were introducing Agile to a newer organization, we never even taught them about predictability and velocity and throughput and cycle time, but instead turned the conversation to metrics and KPIs that articulated customer satisfaction and customer delight and customer value, right?
Yeah,
and our reports were not grounded on how much work the teams were grinding out, but how our investment in these teams and our products are deepening our customers' relationship or are causing our customers to use our product or you know, selling more units. Right. If you want to get down to the nuts and bolts, that's what this is all about. Not grinding out work.
No, that's absolutely right.
Grinding out
because,
the right work.
I mean, essentially, it's not time delivered.
Mm-hmm.
It's value driven. So it's not the time doesn't matter. It's how much value we're delivering quickly in a short increment of in a sprint. That's the highest priority to the client. That's what should be driving the metric conversation. And sometimes, you know, you have metrics. Maybe that's like, you know, what you delivered. The manifesto says working software is the primary goal and client satisfaction. Well, if you look at a Jira board or any board, what's in the done column? That's your metric. That's what you should be saying. Has this provided the top value to our client and the product owners or the clients going, yeah, this is awesome, or no, this is terrible. We need to improve. So I think the metric itself exists in the delivery of the actual work. The rest is just kind of waste, I think. Ooh. It's not delivering value to the client.
So I'm going to get deep. Are you ready to get deep? Are you strapped in?
I'm a little nervous.
I'm going to go deep.
I'm strapped in.
Yeah, okay.
Let me sit down.
Stop. So here's where I start to wonder, right? If you think of people who are managers and leaders today in just a regular old organization, right? If you talk to just go out and have a beer with a manager, do they talk about their customer or do they talk about their employees? And do they talk about, you know, how their teams do work and it's so hard? It's not about the customer ever. It's about extracting as much productivity out of their employees as they can. So, you know, even today you go in and you start talking to managers and leaders about customer and they're like, oh yeah, customer. Yeah. But really they've not been trained. They've not been incented. They've not been reinforced to think customer. They've been thought to think about resources and productivity, right? That's what they get hammered on. They don't get hammered on customer.
That's a good point. It is deep. It revolves. That's a really good point because that's showing you the mindset of where their head's at. And then you give them any metrics and they're gonna abuse it or
right. And they're always looking for metrics that reinforce what they already know. Right. So like if you try to talk to somebody about customer value, how do you calculate customer value? And that's one of the first questions I get when I start talking to new product owners. Well, how do I measure customer value?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you got to talk to your customer first.
Well, there's an old saying. I just read an article by Steve Denning. I got his name right, I think. He said in the article, I think he quotes someone else, but we're trained to have our eyes to the CEO and our ass to the customer.
Okay, I'm going
to
ask you to say that again, but more slowly, because I want to make sure I get a really crisp recording of this for the podcast.
So in this article I read by Steve Denning. He quoted someone in his article. I forgot who it is, but it essentially said, organizations are trained to have their eyes to the CEO and their ass to the client. And I thought that my head exploded because I'm like, yeah, what are these organizations doing? They're not looking outward. They're looking inward with their metrics and all their different stuff to please the CEO. You know, is the metrics driven properly and being enforced properly to measure customer satisfaction?
Well, I will tell you this. It's easier to measure what's going on inside your company than it is what's going on outside of your company. And I think at the end of the day, been a self-reinforcing cycle, right? Because it's easier to get those metrics and I can move those needles a lot easier than I'm going to focus on that. And oh my gosh, I focused on it and I got some improvement. So now I'm going to get a promotion, right? Which makes me going to look at those metrics even harder, kind of making this sound dirty. I'm going to look at those metrics even harder.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing too, is I think when you're doing user story creation, it sometimes comes out. I feel like, you know, with some teams I've coached, it's like, why are you guys building this? Well, because our boss wants it and we have to please the boss, you know, the manager. And then you start to think, well, what's the point of the work? It's looking to, the goal is the manager, not necessarily the client. And I think that happens when I've seen a lot of project managers become product owner, and then they're the quote client, you know.
Interesting. What do you think is a prerequisite then to a good product owner, since we're talking about this? Because I think this kind of gets to the heart of it, right? We get what we measure, right?
Yeah.
We get what we measure. So if we're measuring the scrum metrics or the Kanban metrics, throughput, cycle time, predictability, whatever, right? If that's what we're focused on and that's what we're measuring, that's what we're going to get. Doesn't matter if we're delivering good product or not, but we're sure as heck predictable.
Yeah. Well, it's Conway's law, kind of, is that the work, how the work is built or how the work is done will reflect how the team works and communicates.
Throwing out theory and stuff.
So, you know, it's the idea of, it's the same thing going to the user stories. If you build user stories that are siloed, you're going to have siloed work. You're not going to have collaboration teams because the work is repeating the communication pattern. And that goes to metrics too then. I mean, then reporting from those user stories or whatever, and then that's going to be reflective. So it's like a domino effect.
I was coaching a new team a while back. And we were getting ready to stand up, right? And first off, you know, the whole self-organizing thing, their head exploded, right?
Yeah.
But then I started getting, well, what's our SLA? Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You guys work it out. How quickly do you want to get this value out to your customer? You guys are in charge of your SLA, not me. Have a conversation. Talk to each other.
Yeah, they probably we're silent then.
Yeah,
we can
well,
do
you
that.
Know, when I get ranting, typically people crawl into their hidey holes, cover their heads. Oh, here goes Coach Dan again. He's off on a rant. But no, that's
incoherent rambling.
They're talking about their own SLAs to each other on the team, and I'm sitting here going, "Why do you need SLAs if you're talking to each other and you're laser focused on the same goal, right? And you've got your sprint plan and you've got your sprint commitment." Right. And you know what you said you're going to accomplish. Why do you need an internal SLA with each other?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, it's that more traditional, like you said, safety blanket and comprehensive documentation. And it's that old way of thinking about things. But getting back to the metrics, I think, you know,
I'm going to stop you right there.
With the new team, they're just,
I think that conversation reinforces the whole reason why we quote unquote abuse metrics, right? Even at a team level, we're talking about SLAs with each other. SLA is a metric. Did I meet my SLA or
not? No, that's true.
It's beaten down into our core, right? As workers, that's... you know, we got to measure and I got to have my SLA and I'm, you know, somebody, heck with it. We know what we're trying to accomplish as a team, right? But we go back to that, right? What's my SLA? What's our SLA? What's our expectations? What are we going to be measured on? You're going to be measured on whether or not the customer uses our product, because then they're going to give us money, and then that's going to cause a paycheck to happen for you. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Yeah, I think it's a fear too. You know, what's, you know, if we don't have this, we're going to fall to pieces if we don't have the SLA, or we're not going to be able to perform properly without these metrics or SLA. And I think that's why new teams maybe should start with no metrics to begin with.
You're onto something.
Just to get out of the.
You're onto something.
Just to get, just to get in the mindset of this isn't, let's throw this out the window, you know, with the metrics right now. And then over time, you know, maybe you start to see the burn down chart evolve and change, but you don't look at that right away. And then you start you could start looking at something like that.
Yep. My rule of thumb,
but I think,
is unless somebody gets in my way, I never even introduce metrics until after the third sprint.
Because by
the third sprint, they finally got the events figured out, right? And they're kind of figuring out what they can, you know, we'll talk velocity a little bit, right? But only in terms of sprint planning, right? Okay, well, if you completed, 27 story points last sprint, what's a good place to start with as you're planning this sprint? How did it go? What did you learn? Can you do more, or was 27 too much? That's as far as I get into metrics until sprint three. And then by sprint three, they've kind of got their head in the game a little bit, and you're kind of seeing them start to unlock with each other a little bit. And then you can start talking about metrics, and then you can start talking about velocity, and then you can start talking about throughput and lead and lag time and predictability. But before then, I don't want them focused on numbers. I want them focused on each other.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm going to blow your mind even more. I don't talk to managers about metrics until six sprints in.
Oh my gosh, my head's already blown so many times.
There's
nothing left in my head.
What managers do, right? They look to improve their productivity, right? And I don't want managers thinking about that. I want them thinking about how they're going to develop their people. So, and then when I do talk metrics, I don't talk, you know, predictability, and I don't talk velocity as a comparison. I talk to them about it as a tool that the team uses to improve their own performance. And really, it's nobody's business but the teams. But if you want to help your teams, here are some things that, if they're frustrated because they feel like they could do better and they're not, here are some things that they can look at.
Yeah.
And it turns the whole conversation away from this is a reward or a punishment thing to this is a monkey wrench that you can use to tighten up a loose bolt.
Yeah. Well, and their job changes, right? Their leadership and management job changes from a command control top down to a support structure. And I think I was going to say this earlier. Think of in Toyota, they did Gamba walks. They walked and they didn't have, you know, show me all the metrics on one page. They walked to the boards. They had to get up and physically walk to the Kanban boards, walk down by the shop, and actually engage the team in a different way than they are normal to engage.
Hold on, Wink. Hold on, Coach. They didn't sit in their ivory tower and look at a one-page summary of reports with some pretty colors, you know, that were red and green, and then dictated from on high that we need to have an average enterprise velocity of 49 story points by the end of 2022.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And
that's insanity.
That's exactly. And that's what they think. They think this is crazy. I'm not going to go through these and look here and do this. I want my one report and I want to be done with it. But it's meeting them where they're at and training them to not even before showing them metrics, coaching them on their role as a leader, because you give them the metrics, whatever it is, they're going to, you know, depending on the person, they might beat the team over the head with the metrics. So even before giving them anything, it should be like, you guys know, you guys are kind of supporting the team now rather than dictating to the team because the team's self-organizing and empowered. They've been rewarded 10 years for pulling out metrics and yelling at the team and saying, let's get in shape, taking out the whip, command control. I think you need to start to break that or coach them away from that mentality before you even start with any metric, because they need to understand you don't go to the sprint board, and if they're not delivering, you don't go break into a stand up and start yelling at everybody.
Right. Well,
which that's where you need to start is with the leaders.
And that's a mindset right there. That's a whole big mindset shift that unfortunately agile coaches and scrum masters scoot right on past, right? What do we get focused on?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a great point. I think it is our responsibility as coaches and scrum masters to challenge them, but we enable it, right? And so that's how it leads to, I think, a lot of this bad, or what is it called, dark agile, mm-hmm. is because we're enabling these behaviors we should be challenging or questioning. You know, you should be able to challenge the organization and then go, this is not agile, instead of being quiet and a leader or manager bulldoze a team, then you get fake agile or dark agile.
Yep. And we love fake agile.
Oh, it's so prevalent. What is it? Deloitte or McKinsey did a survey. 90% of CEOs or organizations want to go agile, and only 10% have reported agility. So, I mean,
well, it's that whole difference of relabeling versus reimagining, right? We're really good at relabeling stuff. We're going to go in and we're going to call it Scrum and we're going to put in all these events, but we're still going to generate the same reports that we always did. And we're going to still strategic plan the way we always did. And we're still going to do our annual financial planning, just like we always did. But we're not seeing a whole lot of benefit from this agile stuff, but we've relabeled everything. And it goes back to that whole mindset, which is what started this whole conversation, right? Metrics without mindset don't really get you anything. We're focused on the wrong things. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of these agile transformations fail. It's a shame, really, because if you go in with the right mindset and you know that you have to throw out everything that you've learned and rethink and relearn everything, you got a fighting chance.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be focused on the internal metrics, you're going to have a very efficient machine that's cranking out garbage.
That's right. That's a good analogy for it. Yep. Yeah. And that goes back to, if you're doing Scrum perfect, you cannot be doing agile, right? If you're not delivering the right increments or the right product, you could be doing everything exact to Scrum and still be the worst at it. The funny thing is, bad agile or bad Scrum is better than waterfall.
But is it really?
The irony of it all.
Is it really?
I think it is. I think even Scrum, I mean, that's why these organizations like it. They're not doing, I don't think, a full agile transformation. They're doing Scrum in pockets, but even that is superior, I think, to the old school, you know, BRD, TDD, handoffs, waterfall tradition. Even though it's not full agility, it's still better, even the not so good, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think it's going to come back and bite folks in the backside eventually, though. I mean, honestly, here's kind of where I'm going with. If I still have to produce an annual report that shows what I'm going to be delivering every sprint, where's the agility in that, right? If I still have to produce a report, and then I'm going to take, you know, that number of stories on my roadmap and divide by my enterprise average velocity and be able to predict, and then I'm going to, you know, and there's no room in there, right? There's no room at the end of the sprint to go, oh, they're not using that feature at all. That thing didn't really change our customers' behavior at all. Guess what? We should learn from that, and our whole annual plan should now change. It should pivot. But because we've dug into these and we're not really changing our mindset, then it's just more of the same. And I think eventually big picture wise, long term wise, you're not any better off than you were at the beginning, and you've invested a whole bunch of time, effort, and energy. I don't think in the long term, if you're just relabeling and you're not allowing the mindset to, and especially the embracing change over following a plan piece, if you're not able to go, at the end of a sprint, go, holy moly, they're not using this feature like we thought we did, and this feature was foundational to what's happening next, next, and next, and we're not allowed to throw that annual plan out and pivot because we've learned something, then all you've done is spent a lot of time, money, and effort relabeling things, and you're really on the same trajectory that you were before you tried to undertake your fake agile transformation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I was thinking too when you were speaking, projects drives the metrics then, right? Are we on target? So they have to rethink, organizations have to rethink how they fund projects. You don't fund projects, you fund teams and you pull the projects towards it. So if you're funding it in a traditional way, your metrics are going to reflect the way you fund a project.
I've got a bold statement. If you're still using the word project, then you're really not agile.
That's pretty good. Now, that's true. That's true. And that's a good point, because then if they're saying, you know, when are we going to get this project done in 6 months or a year? You know, that's our milestone with this project. Yeah.
All right. So let's bring this full circle.
Yeah,
okay. So we've ranted now for a good period of time on metrics. So let's think about something useful for our listeners, right? What's some advice that we'd want to give them to help them work through the metrics are bad idea and avoid the metrics being the outcome, and to turn the conversation toward the customer and the product being the outcome?
Focus on assisting with the mindset of leadership and the team before even introducing any metrics, I think, and then see how they grasp that. And then when you introduce the metrics, or they're starting to see, how are they using the metrics? Are they abusing it? And if so, they need some coaching and assistance.
It's just, it's a privilege. That's good. You have to earn the privilege of metrics.
Yeah, well, and them understanding, a good idea is when you introduce it, they might even be like, well, we don't even need this, because we just see working software every sprint or working things every sprint. We don't really need these metrics. And maybe it's an aha moment that they reduce their metrics or change it.
Well, and with our tools, right, with like Jira and the tools that we've got available to us, and even without Jira, right? The whole concept of Scrum makes it super easy to develop or to capture what I call efficiency metrics. How efficient are our teams, right?
Yeah.
What's hard is how effective are our teams? Are they delivering the right things? So maybe the first metric that we introduce as coaches should not be predictability or velocity outside of the team. Maybe the first metric that we introduce outside of the team is the value that they're delivering. Utilization of the software. Subscription
your metric.
Fees, right? Click-throughs. Are our customers engaging with our product? Are they using our product?
Yep.
Are they using it more than they were before when we put this team into play, right? Those are the metrics that we should be introducing first. And then when they get all when their imagination is captured, right? And they're seeing how powerful this really could be, because look at how we're literally moving the customer dial with every release with every sprint and with every release. Then they start to ask questions. Well, how can we do this more?
Yeah. And that's good, because you're refocusing the team from the metrics being the point to, well, is this providing client value? And then the metric is the feedback from the client. And they're saying, or no.
We just solved it, dude. Know.
Maybe.
That's it. Hold on. Let me get my unicorn hat and my magic wand.
I don't know. But essentially, that's it, right? And then you build the metrics around client satisfaction. Is the client happy? Yeah, or boo. And that's your metric. And you go from there, because these metrics turn into things and become very deformed. Like predictability is used by leadership. And then, you know, like we said earlier, they compare to different teams and then they abuse it. The predictability doesn't matter. Are we delivering the value to the client? The predictability is for the team internally to assist them in predicting work delivered each sprint to the client. So, yep. Yeah, it comes to the mindset again. And
it all comes back to mindset, brother, always.
Attitude, mindset, yep.
All right, any final thoughts for our stalwart listeners or our one listener who's made it all the way through to this point?
The one that didn't start drinking halfway through because they were like, what the heck?
Well, in all fairness, we did.
Yeah, we were. But, I think it was good. I think, really good points, Dan, as always.
I'm proud of you.
The views of two wild and agile guys do not represent the views of their employers, spouses, partner coaches, friends, or quite frankly, anybody sane. Our music is by Eddie. Subscribe to the Two Wild and Agile Guys podcast wherever you download your podcasts.